Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 to 10. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may place our trust and our hope in Jesus Christ, our great high priest, and so that with him we may offer intercessions for all. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the realities we face as human beings is that sometimes those who are most willing and able to lend us a sympathetic ear when we are in distress or need are the least able to give us practical help. Maybe they are a family member, a spouse, a trusted friend or colleague. They understand us. They understand what we are going through. Maybe they have stood where we stand, but they can't do much, if anything, practically to affect the change in life that we need. On the other hand, there are people who have competence, who are really able to affect change for the better in our lives, but who seem unable to listen to us or to put themselves in our shoes, to act, in other words, with real understanding. Maybe you've experienced this, perhaps with a doctor or with a teacher, or could it be possible even with a pastor? As human beings, in our real and sometimes desperate need, we need people who understand what we are going through, who can stand in our shoes and know what it's like to be us. But we also need people who can act decisively, authoritatively, and powerfully for us when we are not able to help ourselves. Now, today I'm proclaiming good news from God's word. And the good news is that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He understands what it's like to be a human being. He has suffered the distress and the cries and the groans that are part of this life. But he does not stand aloof from us or apart from us or above us. He understands what it's like to be a human being. He can deal gently with us in our ignorance and waywardness. But he himself is not weighed down by sin or shame. Rather, as God's word makes clear, he is the source of our salvation. He is the one who, as we obey him, can bring us to the heavenly city, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, as the writer of the Hebrews says. Now, today's reading from Hebrews is not necessarily straightforward. It presupposes that we know the first five books of the Old Testament well. It also presupposes that we know the Psalms particularly well. And in Bible study, looking at this text, we'd go back and forward, looking at the allusions and the quotations from the Old Testament. But today, we don't have time to do this, so I'm going to give a little context to the text. Let's start four verses back from the reading that we heard from the lectern. Here's what it says. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins, as well as for those of the people. Now, it seems indeed that the people to whom the writer of Hebrews is writing to knows what he is talking about. They know the Old Testament. They know the priesthood. They know who Moses is, who the angels are, what the Torah is. They know indeed what the priesthood is. One of the things this writer wants to make clear up front is that Jesus shows us exactly who God is. So at the beginning of the letter, for example, the writer uses the image of wax and a seal. And the writer says that's the relationship between the Father and the Son. It's that close. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. That's the first thing we need to keep in mind as we deal with this difficult text. The Son is God in the flesh. The writer wants us to understand this. So when we talk about the priesthood that Jesus has, it's the priesthood held by the Son of God. Nevertheless, the writer says, there are similarities between Christ's priesthood and that of the Old Testament. For a start, Jesus, like the Levitical priests, offers gifts and sacrifices to God. This is a theme which develops as the letter progresses. Jesus also, like the Levitical priests, is able to deal gently with people, gently with us, in our ignorance and waywardness. But as the letter also makes clear, his gentleness with us does not mean that he is incompetent to serve perfectly. He is, the letter says, able to bring us true and lasting salvation. And Jesus' greatness is seen in that he does not have to make sacrifices for his own sin. Rather, he himself is the true sacrifice. And it's through his death and resurrection that we are free to participate in his once-for-all sacrifice for us. The writer goes back to another similarity that Jesus has with the Levitical priests. He writes, "And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was." This is an important Old Testament teaching that also resonates in the New Testament and the life of the church. When it comes to the holy things of God, it is worse than useless to push oneself forward, to insist on one's personal sense of calling, or to stand on one's own rights. One must be called by God and appointed by him. This is how Hebrews goes on. "So also Jesus did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.' As he says also in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.'" These quotes are from Psalm 2 and Psalm 110 and are taken in the church to be speaking by the Father to the Son, the Father's declaration of Christ as Son. He is the one who represents us to the Father and the Father to us. And the writer says he's in the order of Melchizedek, a reference which is not necessarily easy to pick up. And I'll quote one thing from Genesis 14. "Early in the biblical narrative, well before Moses and Aaron, therefore, well before the temple and well before the temple sacrifices, we hear of Abraham victorious in battle." At this stage, you may remember Genesis 14, he's still called Abram. And we read these words. "And the king Melchizedek of Salem brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. He blessed Abram and said, 'Blessed be Abram by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And Abram gave him one-tenth of everything." In Melchizedek, we have a priest who is also a king. This is a most unusual combination in the Old Testament. "One to whom also Abram, our father in the faith, gives tithes." Now Jesus, the writer of Hebrews, is saying, is a priest in this order. This is the sort of priest that Jesus is. One who does not offer, in other words, sacrifices for his own sins. And one who, as the writer goes on to say, is prepared for his priestly role by what we could call his passive and active obedience, by his suffering and life of prayer. Listen to how the reading goes on. "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And then one phrase that stands out here, what I want to pause on today in this sermon is having been made perfect. Because surely as Christians we could ask the question, wasn't Jesus already God in the flesh? Wasn't he already perfect? If he was already perfect, why would the writer of Hebrews say that he was made perfect? What's going on here? Let's think about what perfection can mean as we use it in our own language. I'll ask this question. What is a perfect acorn? Now you could say a perfect acorn is one that's regularly shaped, that has a nice gloss, that looks good and is nice to hold in your hand. That's a perfect acorn, you could say. But another and more scriptural way of talking about a perfect acorn would be one which is planted in the ground and then dies and grows into a sapling and then an oak tree. The acorn reaches its goal, its perfection, in growing into an oak. There is a great continuity there between the acorn and the oak. The goal is reached through the suffering of death and the growth into new life. The goal reached through suffering and death and growth into new life. Isn't this how we think about our Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't this how our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to think about him, just as we heard from today's gospel reading? He always was the Son of God. But how did he reach his goal to serve as high priest for us? He reached that goal by walking in our shoes, by walking in your shoes. He reached that goal through human tears. He reached that goal through human cries and groans. He knows what it's like to be you. Carrying your burdens, he went into death, and now he lives as the true high priest, the one who can stand at the right hand of the Father and intercede for us, and the one who listens to us with ears of understanding. Now let's think about this, dear people of God. Your Lord Jesus Christ, your true high priest, understands what your life is like. He understands the temptations that you suffer. He understands your tears and he hears your cries. You are not dealing with an expert who knows the right answer and won't listen to you. You're dealing with someone who knows you better than you know yourself and who is competent and powerful to save, who has himself gone through death and knows what lies beyond, who knows that in letting go into the hands of the Father, there is resurrection and life. So he knows who you are and is powerful to save and intercedes for you, prays for you, at the right hand of the Father. This text is proclaiming this good news, the high priesthood of Christ, someone standing for you, praying to you for God, one who listens to you and understands you doing this. This has real and practical applications for us as Christian people, and here's how I want to end up. Since we together have this sort of high priest, we are able as Christian people to share in this priestly status together. Little Georgia Grace there is free to do this. She who was baptized into Christ Jesus and who can stand now in the shoes of Christ praying to the Father. But like him, we can be listening intercessors. Do you think there are people in your family or your marriage or your workplace or your friendship groups who have great need that only God can meet? Are there people like that in your lives? Do they speak to you? You don't have to come in with answers to the questions which only God can truly answer, but you have ears to listen, to know what it's like to be a human being, to put yourself in their shoes as Jesus put himself in our shoes. We can think of life from their perspective and intercede for them as we gain understanding by listening to them. We listen, we grow in understanding, and we intercede, and we ask God to help where no human power can help, even in the most fundamental ways, with the gift of faith. Are you able to bring anybody else to faith in Christ? Only the Holy Spirit can do this. This can only be done through the work of God. What we are free to do as Christian people is to stand with Jesus at the right hand and intercede for those who are in great need. It's this sort of action that makes the church salt and light in the world. Listening where there is deafness, praying where there is silence, understanding where there is conflict. Well, may God, through the great high priesthood of Christ, grow us in maturity in this way of life, so that we live as his people, and so that the Father's name is glorified as we act as intercessors together. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.